Good morning. Thank you, Mark, for inviting me to speak in this symposium. Also, thank you for coining the acronym VIVID. Now I know the city dormancy is one of VIVID properties of CIS.
Verbal secret handshake.
CIS in botany can be defined by the component tissues. The three tissues, the basic tissues for CIS, are different in generation, also different in ploidy level. So both embryo and endosperm are offspring tissue. Seed coat is maternal tissue. But when we discuss seed properties, CIS usually refers a disposal unit. It also consists additional seed appendages. But basically, we can classify seed component tissue or disposal component tissue into two categories, parental and offspring. So in seed biology, seed dormancy is defined as a temporal failure of germination and favorable conditions. The temporal, the adjective, refers to the time frame. It could be vary from days to weeks to years. So the variation in the temporal period refers to the dormancy duration. This is also the measurement for natural variation. Ecological and agricultural importance of seed dormancy is significant. The rotation of our Earth around the Sun generates periodic changes in temperature, photo period, and other like humidity. Animals can escape or find a shelter to survive in adverse environment, but not for plants. So, to my understanding, dormancy is most important adaptive trait for seed-bearing plants to survive in adverse environment. Of course, the natural variation in the degree of seed dormancy also provide raw material for crop domestication. The domestication tend to select for less dormant or non-dormant genotypes, which also cause problem of pre-harvest support. Dr. Stable just talking about this issue. The research goal in my and other labs could be summarized. To understand genetic evolution and development mechanism, we use rice as a model system, actually wheat rice, also known as red rice. Dr. Mark Cohen started to do the research on seed dormancy with red rice like from 1980 and the 1990s. Today, I will talk about the forward genetics of seed dormancy. Forward genetics start from variation in a trait. So 20 years ago, we can use lineage map and molecular markers to resolve the natural variation of seed dormancy into individual Mendelian factors, which is known as QTL. So with QTL information, we can move ahead to understand specific genes underlying the QTL. The gene ID and available information in database that can link this traditional seed biologic trait with the advanced knowledge like gene networks or molecular pathways. After that, I'll also briefly discuss some application of genes cloned from rice. Seed dormancy, the variation from natural variation to QTL. Natural variation is the spontaneous mutations. Those have been retained by natural selection during evolution. So only those could survive in the natural conditions be the natural variance, which is different from the mutagenesis for lack of materials. Because of accumulation during domestication or evolution, the mutagens accumulated in natural populations. In quantitative genetics, they use polygenes or quantitative trait genes to summarize this kind of knowledge. Now we can use QT analysis to find polygenes. For example, how many of genes for this complex trait? Well, the genes located was the molecular ID. Rice is a nice model. It is estimated rice genus differentiated about 40 million years ago. But domestication of cultivated rice is about 10,000 years. The image showing three types of rice. The one, this is a white progenitor. We call it Oryza rufifolium. This is the most advanced cultivated rice. The other one is wheat rice. It's not botanic or taxonomy. The name is just classified based on the relation with domestication or crop size. We collect more than 40 lines of rice, including wheat and cultivated rice, growing in the same condition to evaluate the seed dormancy. The dormancy evaluation, sometimes you cannot just evaluate seeds immediate harvest because seed dormancy is too strong. We needed to store seed samples in a wrong condition for a while, which is known as after ripening. With germination and after ripening techniques, we can evaluate a difference, genotypic difference in seed dormancy. The graphic shows the distribution in degree of seed dormancy in these collections. So from this distribution, we can see this is diverging. This divergence is because domestication selects for non-dormant. Why? The natural selection favors the more dominant genotypes. So this is not a normal distribution. This image or this graphic presentation recalls the history of domestication. How to associate the natural variation of seed dormancy with QTL? First, we needed to have a linkage map covered whole genome, then do the genetic analysis. The basic principle is genetic disequilibrium. The graphic shows the distribution in a whole population. With markers, we can divide this population into three subpopulations, then test the difference among the means. And NOAA and other software can do this research. The more difficult than the statistics is phenotypic identification. The population, no matter you develop by breeding techniques or just collect from natural collections, you need to evaluate it at identical condition, do the germination test with standard techniques because the data will be compared by peers. A linkage map consists of markers, marker intervals that measured by genetic distance or centimorgan. So this is a map. The map have to cover the whole genome. So with this map and marker information, we can do genome-wide scan for which chromosome segment that associated with the variation in that trait. So a total of 10 QTLs were detected in wheat rice. This is distribution of 10 QTLs. Majority of the QTLs have the dormancy enhanced allele derived from the wheat rice. That means during domestication, about selection, not nine of QTLs like also associated with other weighty characteristics. That means reduced dominance or enhanced dominance is not necessarily to be selected by germination property. Could be by selection for other associated characteristics. So far we cloned for five QTLs. How long will it take to clone a QTL? The first QTL we cloned, it took me 10 years. Right. Now usually 7 years, 8 years is normal. Move ahead from QTL to QTL analyzing. A QTL can be defined as a marker-delimited genomic region. That genomic region could be vary from a few centimorgan to more than 10 centimorgan. For example, in this region is a QTR region. Within this QTR region, there are more than 100 annotated genes or predicted genes. Which of these more than 100 predicted genes are underlying genes for C dominancy? So we needed to do a lot of fine mapping and progeny testing. Today, I will share with you guys for cloned genes from three QTL, named as QSD1-2, 7-1, and 12. Why these three? Because we just done the research. These three QTL associated with seed dominance. That is imposed by seed maternal, endosperm, and embryo tissues respectively. That could be used as example to understand the remaining QTLs. My graduate students, he will present another information for another QTL that he will present in a poster tonight, this afternoon. This is gentleman Virat from Thailand. How to associate with a QTL with seed component tissues? So the basic principles is that a hybrid F1 plant, this particle, originally generated from one fertilized egg. That fertilized egg is heterozygous, bringing dominance, enhancing, and reducing allele from both parents by a series of development generated 100 seeds, one plant. This seeds, we know, is F2 generation. The plant is F1, but seeds already F2. F2 in the segregation stage. No matter the seeds you collect from same panicle or different panicle, it's common to find some seeds germinate earlier than others. Based on the definition, see, here's you about 50% seeds germinated from this panicle. 50%, how about the remaining 50? Dormant, no matter what reason. Since we know this seeds is collected from the same panicle. Suppose the environment condition and other genetic background information are same. So we want to see if this germinate and non-germination is associated with the QTL we cloned or we marked. With co-dominant marker and electrophoresis techniques, we can distinguish three endosperm embryo genotype. We can also distinguish four endospermic genotypes. So this image, upper panel shows three genotypes. This parent, another parent, the 1, 2, 3. So two parents is easy to tell. Okay, this is segregation. So for heterozygotes, has two bands, they are equal in intensity. So we can see, like, based on number of bands or intensity, we can see, oh, this cis is heterozygous or homozygous. And the sperm consists of four genotypes for F2 population. So based on number of bands, also relative intensity, we can tell, okay, this individual, same as this period, they have one band, high intensity. But this individual, this band is stronger than this one. This is weaker than this one. So with these techniques, we can tell four endospermic genotypes in one segregated population. Okay? With the marker, we can separate 1,000 cysts into four groups, then do the germination to see what genotype has higher germination rate or lower germination rate. So with this technique, we can find the three QTL differing germination distribution. Yeah, for this QTL, four genotypes identical in germination pattern. Why? It can be annotated the gene expressed in maternal tissue. Because all the cysts are identical in maternal tissue. So you cannot define any difference. But this QTL display four distinct genotype patterns. So each associated with a single genotype. But for this QTL, only three patterns. So unless there's something wrong with Mendelian segregation law, otherwise the conclusion is very solid. So without cloning, we can tell which QTL has the gene control dominancy through maternal endosperm or endospermic embryo tissues. So now talking about how to clone, how to annotate a genes for a cyst dominancy QTL. The QTL SD71 was mapped in several mapping populations, which vary in degree of contribution to the phenotypic variation. This is very common. This QTL was mapped on one chromosome, chromosome 7. On this chromosome, there are two QTL. 71 contributed less than the 72. But in this population, 71 contributed more than this one. This QTL also co-located with QTL for pericarp color, so-called laterals. So here, the container can see from different plants. You can see the segregation. Yeah, red, white. To map, to clone a single QTL, it's best to introduce a single chromosome segment from the donor into the recipient parent bank. Why? Because many knowing and unknowing factors interference with dominancy assessment. By introduction of single chromosome segment into same background, we can remove genetic tail to improve heritability for specific QTL. This is very important. So the 71 QTL in primary segregation population sometimes only account for less than 10% of variation. So how does 10 years ago I was asked, how can you clone a QTL with the phenotypic contribution less than 10%? Yes, we did. So by keep narrowing that segment, then finally we can detect single genes responsible for the variation in cyst dominancy. So this integration lines, the Y MPD bar refer to the recipient. Recipient and these lines consist of a pair of perfect isogenic lines. This appearance of isogenic lines, identical in morphology and all agronomic traits, except for seed coat color or pericarp color. So next step is relatively easy. Just sequence, clone, and annotate. The sequence from this particular genus is annotated as a transcription factor belong to the BHLH, basic helix loop helix family. A transcription factor, the mutation occurred in white-colored varieties that generated truncated protein, lost function. This is, I believe this is the most advanced explanation why cereal crops could be red or no colors. So next step with the isogenic lines, that's easy, just extract total RNA and do the microarray or RNA-seq to see how many genes differentially regulated by the particular gene. So the genes include some of them are knowing act on by synthetic pathway of abscisic acid ADA pathway. These genes Oreza sativa or ADA1 mutant in rice is mutated about 20 years ago. This gene was heavily upregulated by the SD71 transcription factor and also some other genes. This is a measurement of ADA hormone contained during the seed development. So this expression peak coincides with the hormone accumulation, so hormone ADA. Yeah, we can annotate, okay, ADA induced primary dominancy. How about seed coat color? All these genes are known in conserved flavonoid by synthetic pathway. All these genes be upregulated by the transcription factor. This is a log scale, upregulated by higher than 500 times. So with that transcription factor, flavonoid synthesis are activated. Well, the genes are activated in here. This is the mutant line, this is the white line. This endosperm, this is testa, this lower epidermal cell of pericarp. About 5 days we can see the precipitation of pigment. 10 days, you can see the 10 days, you can, because the chlorophyll blocked the pigment, but in the dissection you can see it. So with this information, we can make a hypothesis. These genes mutated in the natural populations. This mutation can change it by synthesis or ADA or pigment by synthesis. Both factors could affect degree of dominance. The questions are all red pericarp colored rice, particularly wheat or white rice, are dominant. So based on the phylogenetic analysis, red yellow color depicted the lines have been detected for degree of dominance. Yes, all red colored genotypes has some degree of dominance. The second QTR of our topic is QSD1-2. This QTR was detected on chromosome 1. On this QTR container region, their QTR, more than 10 QTR for plant development and other characteristics. This is my previous graduate student, now he's took a faculty position at Malaysia. By fine mapping, we can delimit this QTR to the region that contain semi-DOF1, which is a rice green revolution genes. So here is recombinants. They are different in chromosome length of chromosome segments from the donor parent. All the chromosome segments assembled in the same background. So each of recombinants will generate 100 or 200 plants, then we evaluate the degree of dominancy for each of them. So this takes a few years' work to conclude, okay, this QT are located in this region. And rice genome be sequenced, we know there is some candidate gene here. Then, based on candidate genes, we sequence the genomic DNA from our materials. So this gene sequenced annotated as an enzyme that involved gibberellic acid biosynthesis. It catalyzed the second to the last step. We use the TDA insertion, this artificial mutation, insert one segment of transfer DNA into the promoter region. So this is UTR, 5' UTR region. Because this segment is about 8 kilobase, blocked the movement of transcription factor. So block the gene expression. So block the gene expression, reduce the plant height, also reduce the germination rate. So this provides additional line of evidence to show mutation for this GS synthesis genes increase the dominance. So this hormone expression profile during CD development. So the mutation in the GA synthesis genes reduce the hormone content at before 6 days after fertilization. Also shift distribution of ABA. Did not change it, the content of ABA, but just shift the time of expression of ABA. So this gene mutation also caused chlorophyll precipitation in seed coat. This experiment was done based on classical genetics. So generate gas, but I like promoter with the gas genes. This is a transgenic lines. This is a recipient, no transgenes. This is hybrid. Use this one as female parent. This is a male parent. So any genes with the gas came from pollen. The pollen only contributed to the embryo, also contributed one set to the endosperm. So if this gene expressed in maternal tissues, then every cis, the cis, like that. But if genes only expressed in an endosperm, okay. So based on this experiment, we can know these genes in the endosperm. This is another information. Germination test determined that seed germinability development between these two lines associated with water content. So based on that, we can propose the GA regulated seed development, also regulated germinability. Mutation of these genes caused reduction in germinability or increase in germination. The third QTL is the major QTL. This QTL has largest effect on seed dominancy. And also, the effect of this QTL enhanced by high temperature during seed development. Remaining QTL has effect reduced, increased by low temperature. So this gene, because large effect, may play a single role, an important role during domestication. This about the senior scientist in my lab. He cloned this gene. Found there are three genes in this QTL region. Each of three has function on seed dominancy. The genes, two of them is annotated as PHLH family transcription factor, the other with unknown function. So So this is a recipient pairing, Luo dormancy. These three, each of them has one functional allele. This one has all three genes. So this germination profile also conform. Each of three has function. All of three cumulate together has strong effect on dormancy. This transgenic conformation, the gene expressed in nuclear astrin's transcription factor. So we detected this gene, one of the genes highly expressed in panda developing cysts. Remaining three are also expressed in embryo. So by RNA-seq, we detect one set of genes. Most differentiated genes are involved in heat shock protein coating. So based on this result, we can conclude that the genes could be involved in regulation to the response to abiotic stress during seed development, like desiccation. Phylogenetic analysis, we can find these genes very divergent. The lines has all three genes only present in some wide progenitors located in southern part of Thailand. So that means the genes only present in some lines, not others. Now with these genes, we are doing some like application. So first we can use, because these genes are functional in wild rice but not in cultivated. So with cultivated rice has no these genes, we can introduce some of them into the cultivar to improve the resistance for harvest quality. We can also use this gene as targets to develop a weed management strategy. So seed pre-harvest protein similar to that in wheat. This is male sterility lines, the restoration lines. Farmers use Aplicaradica to promote panicle elongation. GA also induced germination of pre-harvest protein. So how to solve this problem? Yeah, we are trying to use seed dormancy genes to develop new lines. The other applications, weed rice, a serious problem in rice growing area. So, gene flow already described for clear field, herbicide resistant varieties. So, the graduate students were talking about how to use the seed dormancy genes to mitigate gene flow. The basic principle is genetic equilibrium principle. So, herbicide resistance, if there are also factors in replace increasing, this herbicide resistance will be fixed in quickly in weed population. If we add a negative genetic load, this could never be here, could be stable in these levels. Okay, with this slide, I would like to thank my lab team, collaborators, and funding agencies. Thank you.